Music this morning. I trust that you have been. I don't know how you couldn't have been if you were just paying attention. I'm thankful for good godly music, aren't you, that ministers to our hearts, to our souls. Every song that was sang today, congregation, the special music, goes right along with the thought that God's laid on my heart for the message this morning. You have your Bible open to the 23rd Psalm. Many of you have this psalm memorized. If you do not, or even if it's been a while since you've just rehearsed the psalm, you say, well, I memorized it as a child, and I think I could get it. I think I could say it all. Well, if you're there, if that's where you are, you know, I think I could. I'm not sure. Could I encourage you that during these days that we're studying the 23rd Psalm, would you recommit yourself to memorize this psalm? It just brings such solace. It brings such comfort to our hearts. And God can use it to minister to your heart. Just in the stillness of the night, in the quietness of a day, when you just need that assurance or that comfort, a word from God, it's just good to just kind of get away and begin to recite this song and let God speak to your heart. So could I encourage you to do that? I have a thought on my heart this morning that I'd like to share with you. And I don't know, you never know how God's going to use the message. I may preach it, I may teach it, I just want you to get it. I just want you to get the message that God's laid on my heart. I believe that this part of the psalm is just so important. I don't know that I couldn't say that about every facet, every part of this psalm. But I'm interested in the first part of verse number 2, where the psalmist said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, what does that mean? When you recite the psalm or you read the psalm or you hear it read to you, what does that mean to you? I think I know what David is saying to us. I really do. I think I know what God has moved on David's heart to minister to him, that he is saying, I want you to pin this down. I believe, as I've said before, that the psalmist, when David was writing this, he's on the backside of his life. He's been through a lot of life's experiences. And if you know anything about the life of David, you know about some of the things that David has encountered in life when he penned this psalm. Now, many of you, many of us, are where David was in the time of our life when he was writing this psalm. And we too can kind of look back over the span of our life and see how the Good Shepherd has led us thus far. And with great confidence we can say, all the way, my Savior leads me. What have I beside thee, right? And so I want us to just focus in on what is being said here. What is David saying? When he said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And I just done some research on the verse itself, and so I want to talk to you about, I think it's directly attached to verse number 1. In particular, well, the whole verse, but in particular where he said, I shall not want. You see, I believe what David is saying here is, I'm not only content, but my shepherd knows how to make me rest. Now, you would think that any person knows you need rest. But we're such busy people. I want to talk to you about worry, stress. You know, some time ago, many years ago, and I'm going to sound carnal here, but I remember a character by the name of Lucille Ball. And she was doing this info or this commercial for Vitamita Vegemin. Remember that? And this stuff was supposed to be good for everything that harms you, right? I mean, if you're tired, if you're pooped out, if you're distressed, if you're just all this, all you gotta do is take a couple of tablespoons of this and presto, you know? And you'll be back going at it again. I want to tell you that I don't have any of that in my pocket today. Amen. Well, you know. Amen. I've got something better, brother. I have something better this morning that I'm going to offer. It is something that will never fail you. It is something that won't impair you in a negative way. It is something that has never failed. And I want to talk to you about it. It's something that the psalmist David said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." I want to ask you a few questions before we get started this morning. This is going to sound like that commercial. Do you worry? I mean, really. Do you find yourself worrying? You feel stressed out all the time? Or are you always talking about how tired or worn out you are? Do you always talk about how bad you feel or how bad things are? It's because of, I believe with all of my heart, what David is referring to here. David said, "I've got the secret. I have the secret." He said, "I've learned the secret to conquer worry." You know, worrying is a sin. You do know that. Worrying is a sin. It is. Now, oftentimes, we don't think about worry as a sin. We think, well, you know what? Worry is just, I mean, it's just something that everyone does, so obviously it must be accepted. Well, I think among men it is accepted, but God doesn't accept it. As a matter of fact, God commands us not to worry. Be careful for nothing. Philippians 4. That's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. He's not saying, hey, if you can now, try not to worry. That's not what God said. He said, don't you worry about anything. Be careful, anxious for nothing. Stop your worrying. Worry brings distress. Worry brings a lot of problems in all of the facets of our being. And we'll talk about that just a little bit. Here, the psalmist is saying, David is saying, I know what it is to be on both sides. I've been a shepherd. I'm a shepherd. I know what it takes to get the sheep at rest. But I'm also on the receiving end. I know what it is to receive that rest. And I think that David said here, he said, this is the key right here. So I want to give you the key to a stress-free life. Now, who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to have the ability, the recipe to conquer worry? You say, well, preacher, does that mean I'll never worry again? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean this. When you're tempted to worry, when I'm tempted to worry, when I began to feel the pressures of life and I began to become distressed, God said, I want to give you something through one of my sheep who is a shepherd, David himself, that's going to help you. It's going to help you. See, there's a place in God. And that place is mentioned here. It's those green pastures. And when we began to see that it's different places that the shepherd, he plans it out. You got to remember where David was tending his sheep. He wasn't tending his sheep on the rolling hills of green grass. Brethren, it was in a barren desert, the dry barrenness of the wilderness of Judea. And if they're going to find these green pastures, the shepherd's going to have to seek them out. And the shepherd's going to have to provide those so that the sheep will have a place to go to find what David said that he made him to lay down in. The sheep's not going to seek these out. As a matter of fact, sheep doesn't have enough sense to even know they need to do it. Man, there was a time, and I'm just going to ask you to turn there. I started not to do this, but I just think it's important. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter number 6. While you're turning there, I read about a guy who worried so much that the hair fell out of his toupee. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folks that worry like that. I'm not making a lot of worrying. I'm telling you that the devil will, listen, the cares of this life, the temptations, the attacks of the enemy will cause us to worry. Listen, your life can either be worry-filled or worry-free, but you get to choose. Please don't think, well, I can't help it. I just worry about everything. You too can help it. I can help it. And it may mean a change of lifestyle. It may mean a change of approach to life. It may mean cutting some things out of our schedule. It may mean changing some things. It may mean more structure in our life. I don't know what it would mean, but I know that God has the answer right here in the book. In Mark chapter number 6, Jesus made this statement, and I just find it very interesting. If you'll look down just for a moment, in verse number 34, Jesus said this, and the Word of God says this, and Jesus, I'm in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, it says,
And Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. He was moved. He felt it. You know what that's what compassion means. It means your pain in my heart. I feel you. I'm empathizing with you. I feel what you feel. And Jesus felt their pain. Jesus felt their uneasiness, their unrestlessness, their restlessness and their uneasiness. And he said, I feel it. I sense it. He said, they're like sheep with no shepherd. There's been no green meadows. There's been no green pastures laid out for them. And so he said, I, when I look at them, I just see a group of people that are just running in circles, that are just running to and fro, that are just always on the go. And he had just gotten through, and this is the point I wanted to show you. I want you to see what Jesus is saying here. He said, if you look at verse number 35, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place. And Jesus said, we're getting ready to do something for some people that are restless, that are uneasy, that are always tired and running to and fro, that are going in circles. They feel like a caged hamster just running around in circles. And he said, I want you to make these people, in verse number 36, the disciples said, we need to send them away. And Jesus said, no, we're going to give them to eat. And he said, I tell you what I want you to do. He said, I want them, in verse number 39, I want you to make all of them sit down by companies upon the green grass. Now, the Bible had just said they were in a desert place. And Jesus said, we're going to do something special for these people because they're like a sheep with no shepherd. And he said, I want to show you what you need. He had actually told them, if you'll go back with me, verse number 31, he told his disciples, he said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. He said, I've got a place for you. You're in a dry place. You're in a barren place. You don't know what you need. You won't even rest. And he said, I am telling you, you come with me. I've got a place for you. Brethren, I tell you, there's a place in God that many are missing. We're missing it. God has a place for refueling, for refreshing, for energizing you, for energizing me, for giving hope to the hopeless, help to those that feel helpless. God said, don't you let the cares of this world eat you up inside. Don't you let this rat race ruin you, wear you down. And he told his disciples, he said, listen, you need to rest. And you wouldn't expect to come to church on a Sunday morning and hear the man of God, the preacher, stand up and say, what you may need more than anything else in your life is just some good old-fashioned rest. Especially if you're 15, 16, 17 years old, you would think, well, preacher, I don't need rest. Listen, even the young need rest. Everybody needs a little rest. But it's more than just where you are when you're resting. It's who you're with. If you go back with me to Psalm 23, he didn't just say, find you a green pasture and lie in it. He said, he maketh me. He insists, but I believe it's even further and deeper than that. It's he invites me. He brings me to the place. The presence of my shepherd is so strong. It's so real in my life. I have a hungering in my soul that I want to be with him. And because I know that he will meet every need that I have, because I know that because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want to be where he's at. And he has provided a green pasture. I want to lay in those green pastures, amen. I want to lay in those pastures and get my rest and my refreshment and my refueling. I need a charge from heaven from time to time, and you do too. This old world has something about that will take the edge off of you, brother. Listen to me. Children of God, please hear me this morning. The world will wear you down. The cares of life will begin to eat at your soul. And we'll begin to fret and to worry and get distressed and wear down. And it'll cause us to become agitated and irritated to where we'll lose that kindness of spirit that God wants us to have. We were talking in our Sunday school class this morning about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, but there's also the graces of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit,
love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance, brethren. We need those things. And it's when I'm lying in those green pastures that the Spirit of God begins to refresh and remind me that these are available to me in my shepherd. Let's look at it. Let's look at it. What does the word worry mean? If someone were to come to you and say, "Hey, I've been worrying a lot and I'm really not sure what's going on in my life. But I feel like that I'm a nervous wreck." You ever heard someone say that? "I'm a nervous wreck. Can't sleep. Can't think straight." Probably most of you's been there. I know I have. What does it mean to worry? If you look the word up, we use the word. What does it mean? Did you know the word worry means to pull apart? Exactly what it means. It means to pull apart. If we study the scripture, God tells us. In Philippians 4, and we'll get there eventually if the Lord wills, he said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding," now watch this, "shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." You see, when we worry, our heart and our mind is brought apart. It's pulled apart. Our emotions and our reason, our intellect and our faith, things are just being pulled apart. We don't know. Listen, we're worried about things that could happen. We're worried about things that won't happen. We're worried about things that have happened. We're just pulled apart. You know what peace means? When he said the peace of God shall keep, which means garrison, which means guard. The word peace is the exact opposite from the word worry. When people come together at a peace treaty to sit down and sign a peace treaty, it's bringing people together. It's bringing ideas together. It's bringing countries and nations. It's bringing things together. That's what peace does. That's why the Bible says in Romans 5, in verse number 1, it says that we are justified by faith. And because of that, we have the peace of God in our heart, which means that God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, so that when we get saved, we have peace with God. You see, the peace. Why? Because Jesus has taken man and God and brought us together. And that's what peace is. It's the bringing together of things. The opposite of peace is worry. And so peace is bringing things together. It's putting things together. Worry is taking things or pulling things apart. That's why people say, you know, "I'm a nervous wreck. I'm all broke up." It's coming apart. Actually, we use that phrase sometimes. "Oh, so-and-so's just coming apart. Man, they're just breaking up. They're just falling apart." Because they're worrying, they're distressed, they're under a lot of strain. David said here, he said, "I want to tell you how you can conquer and have victory over that." He said, now, the thing you've got to do, first of all, is you have to realize that life has cares and worries. I took this past week, and I just simply put this in, and I just wanted to see what would come up. I put things that people worry about. I just put it in my search engine. I tell you right now, I was stunned. I didn't know there were so many things that people could find to worry about. I mean, I understand that most people worry about finances. They worry about family. There's not a parent in here that could say, "I've never worried about my children, preacher." Sure you have. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying that parents worry about their children. Finances, health, the economy, right? Our country, yeah. Our world. The list could go on, that things that people worry about. But some of the things that came up when I just put it in my searches, I was stunned. I think the one that really got, I mean, it just, I thought, what? There's people, I didn't even know there was such a thing. I can't even pronounce it. Some kind of frog. I'm from the South. I don't say frog. I say frog. And I'm telling you, there's people that worry about some kind of, like, I don't know, timber leg tree frog or something. There's people worried about that's going into extinction. Number one, I didn't care. Number two, doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to worry about some frog. But I was just stunned. It's almost as if there's this cloud hanging over people to where they just look for stuff to worry about. It's almost like if they're not worried about their finances or everything's okay with the family, they're just sitting around thinking, now let's see, I'm in good health and God's taking care of my bills and my finances and the economy seems to be okay and my family seems to be intact. Let's see, what can I worry about? Oh yeah, that frog out in California. What? Let's see, we're kind of bent that way, aren't we? We are. We think we've got to have something that we got to be worrying about. And David said, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus knew that. And that's why when he was here on this earth, he looked out at people and he said, look at those people. They have no direction. They're just going in circles. They're just pulled apart. They're worried. They're distressed. They're always tired. They're always doing a lot and accomplishing a little. Why is that? I think the answer is verse number one. Jesus said they are sheep with no shepherd. So let's start right there. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is he? You trust him? Can you truly say, listen, you'll not get into that place until you get verse number one straightened out. Say, preacher, I'm looking for those green pastures. Now, the Lord's going to have to be your shepherd because he's the one that will make you lie down in them. You're not going to find it without the shepherd. Please hear me this morning. There are people who say, I don't need religion. I'm not talking about religion this morning. I'm talking about relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't need the church. Well, now, that's debatable. I think you do. And this book here says you do. But now I'm going to tell you something. Until the Lord is your shepherd, there's not going to be any peace, no real peace in your heart. There'll always be things pulled apart, always. Peace starts when you come to a saving knowledge and enter into a relationship through Jesus Christ with God Almighty. And then when you say, the Lord is my shepherd, can you say, I shall not want? We talked about it. Jesus is enough. There's no lack. There's no lack in my life. I have finally realized that Jesus is truly all that I need. Can you say that? And then this. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I want you to get a couple of pictures here. I want you to just to get a couple of pictures. I like to read after Philip Keller. Now, Philip Keller has written a few books on sheep and shepherd. And one called The Shepherd Looks at the Good Shepherd in Psalm 23, he had this to say, and I want to read it to you. I printed it out because I wanted to read you what he said about sheep. Now, some of the things I had read in the past, and I knew about sheep, but some of these I didn't. Sheep are a very restless animal. Do you know that? They are. They seem to be kind of docile. And you wouldn't think of them as restless, but here's what a shepherd of many years said. He said this. He said, the strange thing about sheep is that because of their makeup, it is almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. You know what those requirements are? What the shepherd is saying, he is saying, listen, it's not common that what David is saying here, he maketh me to lie down. He said, it's just not common. Because sheep in themselves, they have to have everything just so before they will get to this place in their life. And that's why it comes on the heels of, I shall not want. See, what David is saying here is the requirements have been made. The requirements have been met. And therefore, I will lie down in green pastures. He will lead me there and he can help me to lie down in green pastures. Why? Because as a sheep, I have some requirements. And when those requirements go unmet, then I'm just not going to lay down. I'm not going to lie down in the green pastures. They can be provided. I'm not going to lie in them. There's a place that God has prepared, but I'm not going to visit that place. I'm not going to frequent that place because there's some needs yet unmet. But until you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I realize that all of my need is met in Jesus Christ. There's no lack. He's the great provider. The four are this. Number one, free from all fear. Sheep will not lie down. I tell you, sheep, we'll get to this in just a moment, but sheep are interesting animals. They really are. As a matter of fact, you can ride by at most farms or most hillsides, and you may see a number of cattle or a number of herds lying down, but it's rare that you see sheep lying down. They're usually just standing around, you know. And it's because they're filled with fear depending on who their shepherd is. The reason that a lot of people are restless is because of fear. I sure am glad that God has given me, listen, God has given me security. He has not given me the spirit of bondage again to fear. Amen. So I want to ask you, is there fear in your heart? Does fear grip your heart? Does every little thing you hear, does your mind run wild? There's something not right. Fear. Number two, free from friction of other sheep. You will not have peace with God. You will not have peace in your heart. You will not have rest in your soul when you have aught with your brother. If there's something between you and your brother, then there's something between you and your God. Please hear me this morning. You see, it's the small things, brethren. It's the small things. We think, well, you know what? My relationship with my brethren in Christ has nothing to do with my relationship with Christ himself. You're wrong. And the Bible says that it does. How can you say you love God in whom you cannot see if you do not love your brother who you can see? Isn't that what John said? How can you be right with God when you can't even be right with your brother? If you have aught in your heart against your brother, the Bible says that there's a separation with you and God. There's a division. There is a pulling apart. So number one, free from all fear. Number two, free from friction from other sheep. Number three, free from being tormented by flies and parasites. And we'll get into that a little later when he said he anointeth my head with oil. You ever been sitting around and fly, you're trying to eat and a fly is buzzing around? I tell you right now, that drives me crazy. It does. I mean, they're just irritating. There's just, you know, something just as irritating is if you're trying to get a little nap. And all of a sudden, you're just around your ear. Get away. You know, trying to get a little shut eye here, right? It's irritating. It agitates you. That's what he's saying. Free from these things. Free from these things. Free from fear. Free from friction of others. Free from these parasites and these flies and these irritations. And then the final thing is free from hunger. Free from hunger. They just won't lay down. Now I want you to think about that and think about yourself. Think about it. The reason a lot of people do not have peace is because of the things that I just named. Fear. They worry. Fear grips their heart. The least little thing that goes wrong, they think, well, you know what? I remember when I was a teenager growing up in my home, and I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but if I was like 10 minutes late, my mom already had me in a crucial car accident on some gurney on my way to the hospital. 10 minutes late. She worried about everything. You ever had that experience? Somebody's a little late and you're thinking, oh, you think the worst. They haven't called. They're not here. They said they'd be here. Where do you think they could be? And so the psalmist said here, there's things that cause us not to lay down. While the shepherd has provided a place, the sheep will not lie down until they can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Watch it now. I shall not want. I shall not want. I read some studies, and I'll just share these with you before I get down to what I consider to be the meat of this message. One study said that 40% of the things we worry about never happen. 30% of the things we worry about are things over and past that cannot be changed by all the worry in the world. 10% of the things we worry about are petty things that are really, it's just needless stuff that we just want to worry about. We feel like it's just our place to worry about them. I'm not a good parent if I don't worry, or I'm not a good this or that if I don't worry about stuff. And it's just not so. Charles Mayo, the Mayo Clinic, he made this statement. He said that worry has done more to affect negatively and adversely the human constitution of health than cancer. Now you think about that. Worry. Let me find this quote here that I thought was just, I mean, it was just, let me read some of these. Charles Mayo, worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system. Now these are professional doctors. These are people who know the human body. Dr. Alexis Carroll gave this warning. Those who do not know how to combat and overcome worry usually die young. Worry. The stress. Brethren, we live in a world that's just, they're fretting about everything. I love what one man said. He said, you know, what we need to do is learn how to chew on green grass instead of our fingernails. It's the truth, isn't it? Another doctor said this, says that when we worry, our bodies start pumping out an array of chemicals that cause a variety of physiological reactions. They described how chronic worrying can negatively affect our whole body. It can increase the risk of heart attack and stroke by raising blood pressure, and it can increase blood clotting, as well as prompting the liver to produce more cholesterol. Worry increases muscle tension, which can give rise to headaches, back pain. That got my attention. Back pain. Let me find myself. And other body aches. It can also trigger an increase in stomach acid, which leads to several stomach disorders. Even suggests that chronic worry can compromise our immune systems, making us more vulnerable to bacteria and viruses. You say, well, preacher, are you a doctor? No, I'm not a doctor, but I'm telling you what doctors are saying. The Word of God is always right. When God said, don't worry, He wasn't just saying it so that I could stand up and preach it to you. God made our bodies. And He said, your body is not made for you to sit around, and my body is not made for me to worry about things all the time. I don't want a worry-filled life. I want a worry-free life, and it's available through Jesus Christ. You don't have to live a fretful life. We can live a restful life. You don't have to fret about everything that takes place. How am I going to do that, preacher? It's one thing to say that I shouldn't do it, but how can I do it? What's the recipe? What's the remedy? Well, trust. Trust. Notice what it said, and turn there, if you would, over into Philippians. Turn, if you would, to Philippians 4. We're going to stop at a couple of scriptures here, and then I'll be through this morning, okay? Look, if you would, in Philippians 4. I'm talking to you about, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The picture is, as you're finding Philippians chapter 4, the picture is this. The picture is that here's these sheep, and they don't really know what they need. But they have a shepherd who does. And He's saying it's not good for you to fret and be tired and not have rest and be hungry and to get agitated by these things. And so I'm going to provide a way to where these things can be cared for. Now listen to me. So that no one will leave here today and say, the preacher preached today how I can get rid of every problem in my life. I'm not preaching that. You say, are you saying that I'm going to have problems tomorrow? No, I'm saying you're going to have problems before today's over. So don't you leave here and say, well, what David said now was, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. If I can just find that green pasture, my worries are over. No, there's a place that God wants to get you to recharge you. Because there's barren fields all around us. Life's journey can be dry and barren. And it has a way of zapping stuff out of us, eating away at us. And I need that green pasture experience. I need that laying down experience. I need that peaceful, that restful experience. I need to meditate on who God is and what God has done for me. I need to reflect on the goodness of God and how powerful my God is and how almighty my good shepherd is. He's my protector and provider. There's nothing that God hasn't and cannot do for me. And I need to realize that. And when I begin to fix my mind on who He is instead of what I'm encountering, then I can lie down in the green pastures. When I get along with God and I begin to feed on that good green grass, when I begin to lie there and rest and I'm peaceful with my surroundings and my shepherd is fighting off the predators, they're still there, but my shepherd is holding them in bay. Those old parasites are still there, but my shepherd has anointed my head with oil. And now my cup's running over. I pray to God somebody will get that this morning. It's real, brother. It's real. This is not just some message I'm preaching. This is the Word of God. It's real. And it's available to all of us. I like what the psalmist said here. He said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. But he didn't say He makes me eat. God has provided the place. It's my choice what I do when I get there. Amen. He said, come ye apart for a season and get you some rest. You know, there's a lot of things that's ailing some folks in the congregation and those that have joined us by live stream this morning. But there's not much outside of what a good day's of rest and a good day of meditation in God's green pasture won't help us with. Sometimes it's just good to come apart for a season. Shut out the cares of the world. Turn your cell phone off. Turn all that media stuff off. And just get alone with God and let God minister to your soul. You talking about peace, my friend. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. You say, preacher, does that mean that if I do that, I won't face another problem? I've done told you, you're going to face more problems. And listen, they just won't agitate you. When you're laying in those green, listen to me now. When you're laying in those green pastures, that doesn't mean that the nematodes and the parasites and all those insects are not there. That doesn't mean that there's not bears and jackals luring and lurking on the outskirts of that green pasture. It just means in the green pastures, they don't agitate you and irritate you like they do in that old bare, parched, dry, and barren land. Amen. They're still present. Troubles will never completely go away till we leave this old life. Please hear your preacher this morning. I said they will never go away till we exit this world right here. But thank God for a place that God has prepared for us, and He'll bring us to, and He'll say, now just lay right here. Now, when you get the picture of a sheep laying down, please don't think it's on its side. They fold their legs up under them, and they just sit straight down. Just as calm and peaceful. If you look that word lie up, it means crouch. Very interesting. And there's a reason for that that we'll get to later on, but it's just, I found that so interesting. You can just see, I can just picture in my mind the sheep just crouched down there in that green meadow, chewing the cud, amen, just eating that nourishing green grass, barren fields all around them. Some sheep that are not inside the fold are out there in that barren land, and they're just agitated and irritated, and they're just, listen, they're lean, they're fearful. They're open to open prey to the attack of the predator. Thank God I'm in the fold, amen. Amen. Thank God we're in the fold. Here in Philippians, and I think I'm going to just use this. And I said one more, but I'm going to use this to bring it to a closing point. God said, I don't want you worrying. I have provided some green pastures along life. I have personally provided them. I have equipped you with these resources that you need to go to. What are they, preacher? Well, let me say before I read here in Philippians 4. Do you have a quiet time with God? Do you? I want you to listen now. What do you notice about this? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. It's He and me, brother. It's God and me. That's where the secret is. You let the world in between you and God, and you're in trouble. Every time I get between me and God, every time I let someone or something get between He and me, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. I need that He and me. I need that God and I time. You do too. We need it, brethren. You say, preacher, you just don't know. I'm busy. Don't you ever get too busy to where you can't have that quiet time of meditation in the presence of the Lord. Could I please, please lay on your heart to leave here today with a determination, I'm going to spend some time alone with God. If it means losing 30 minutes of sleep every morning, it would be well worth it for me to have that quiet meditation in the presence of the Lord. Would you please do that? Would you please do that? We're in Philippians 4, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. Now, God would never command me to do something that wasn't possible. Don't fret. Don't be anxious. This is what He's saying, and we're careful there. Don't fret. Don't be restless. Don't be anxious. Don't be distressed. Don't stress out over anything. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You see that? Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, request. Sounds like to me there's some meditation going on. We talked about that sweet hour of prayer. Oh, what solace there is there. Oh, what solace. Please, I want to encourage you this morning. Take time to be holy. Get along with the Lord. It may mean less time on social media. I don't know what it would mean for you. I don't know. It looks different for every person here. I can't say. You know what it is. You know what you need to cut back on so you can spend more time meditating on what God has said. He said in verse number 7, He said, if you'll do this now, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God will take you to that place. Those green pastures. And He'll let you feed. And He'll let you rest. And He'll refresh, refurbish, revitalize some things in our lives. It's needed, brethren. It's needed. So I ask you again as we close our Bibles. Do you worry? Do you find yourself always worrying, fretful, agitated, irritated? If you do, God has provided some green pastures. And the shepherd will bring you to them and make you lie down, which simply means, it doesn't mean He takes the sheep and forces them down. It means that He eliminates those things that would prohibit the sheep from lying down. You see? He eliminates the fear of these things, and He eliminates the care, but the presence of the shepherd is what eliminates them. The shepherd can't eliminate all the flies and the insects and the predators. He can't eliminate all of them altogether. But what He can do is put the sheep's mind at ease. I've got you covered. You don't have to be concerned about this. Amen? I've got you covered. And when you get along with the Lord, that's what God will tell you. That's what your shepherd will tell you. I've got you covered, son. I've got you covered. I'm going to take care of this for you. Right? Don't you worry now. Don't you fret. Don't you be careful about that. Don't you be anxious. You pray. You supplicate. you give me thanks by faith, and you let that request be known, and I'll give you peace in your heart, then I'm at work on your behalf. I'd like to ask you to stand.